This podcast is a part of the Podmania Podcasting Network. Check out podmania.co.uk to check out more of our great podcasts, features, reviews, match ratings and previews spanning the crazy and diverse world of professional wrestling. And welcome to the Young Lion Cast, your audio source for all things New Japan Pro Wrestling, right here on the Podmania Podcasting Network. I am your host, Rob Goodin, and Chris O'Brien. We have New Japan live events coming back. How excited are you?
New Japan. Yay. That's actually something I was thinking about. How annoying is it? But New Japan's called New Japan because it's like, how do we get across that it's new? Saying New Japan, it's like saying New New York. It's just bad.
Doesn't fit, does it?
Yeah.
This is incredibly exciting. We've waited nearly 4 months now. February 26th was the last time we had a live New Japan event.
It's been 72 years.
It feels so long, and it's so good to be back. There's lots of announcements that we're going to get into in a moment, followed by us previewing the New Japan Cup, because yes, the New Japan Cup has been bought back, thank the Lord. Myself and Chris are going to give our brackets, our thoughts, and basically how we think the Cup's going to play out. They're then going to go on Twitter, and you can have a look at them for yourselves. First, Chris, before we get into the New Japan content, I just want to address, obviously we're in the middle of our deep dive into the feud between Tanahashi and Okada. That is going to continue, but we're going to put it on the back burner. Obviously with the New Japan Cup happening and with the Together Project show and with Dominion and with the New Japan Cup final, we're going to be pretty much focusing on the current product, which, great, you know, we've got current product back again. But we are going to have to put Okada vs. Tanahashi on the back burner. And then whenever we are stuck for something to do, or New Japan has a break in their tours, or heaven forfend this happens again, we'll revisit that and we'll start again with Episode 5, The Bullet Club. So it is happening. It's just we are focusing more on the current product from this episode, which is Episode 22. So, with that out of the way, let's talk some New Japan, which, thank God. So on Tuesday, June the 9th, there was a special press conference called with Tsukabayashi and Hiroshi Tanahashi. They announced that New Japan is back. On June the 15th, which is this coming Monday, they have announced the Together Project show. Basically, there is no card announced for this. From what I can gather, it is going to be very much like New Year Dash, where the full card is going to be announced at bell time, which is 7 p.m. Japanese time. And presumably then we're going to get a restart of all feuds and things like that. Presumably some feuds heading into the New Japan Cup as well. Speaking of the New Japan Cup, the new brackets were announced, and the New Japan Cup will start the day after the Together Project show, so the 16th of June. That is going to run all the way through till the 11th of July. It's an expanded 32-man bracket, and myself and Chris are going to preview it, talk about the matches, and then, like I said, give our own way we think the brackets are going to pan out. The final on the 11th of July is going to take place at Osaka Joe Hall, which brings me to my next point, which is that we are actually going to get fans back at shows. The New Japan Cup is a New Japan World exclusive, which means that fans will not be in attendance for any of the Cup matches. The final at Osaka Joe Hall on the 11th, there will be fans in attendance. That is also followed. So that's July the 11th. On July the 12th, then, we get Dominion. So whereas they had taken Dominion down from the schedule and everyone thought it had been cancelled quietly, it has in fact just been moved to July 12th. So if you're keeping up with all these announcements, that means that There are two consecutive nights in Osaka Joe Hall. Both of these nights will have fans. Now, the capacity of Osaka Joe Hall, so just to give you some kind of indication, at Dominion last year with the main event of Jericho versus Okada, there was an attendance of 11,901. The year before, which saw that absolutely fantastic match between Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada, that drew 11,832 fans. So you're looking at roughly 12,000 if you're rounding it up. Now, they've announced that it's going to be about a third capacity at these shows for the New Japan Cup final on the 11th and the Dominion show on the 12th. And even though it's only a third, Chris, 4,000 fans is still a fucking blessing.
That's hefty, yeah. Like, it's more than TNA's drawn in its entire history. Yeah, no, it's still a lot of people. It's still basically Sumo Hall. Well, like, Noah draws to Sumo Hall on a good day. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to there being actual fans and not just workers in the crowd. We're sort of here because of really hardline, well, necessary hardline precautions taken by the Japanese government, because they sort of ignored it for longer than they should have. But, you know, who are we to talk? We're British. I'm just looking forward to more New Japan, because, like, I don't know, I'm sick of all Japan.
Just to give you some idea of the main events, we haven't had cards announced for Dominion yet, but we are assured that there will be some really good matches on these cards. The final will obviously be the main event of the July the 11th show. The July 12th show will then have the winner of the New Japan Cup taking on Tetsuya Naito for both the Intercontinental and Heavyweight Championships. Opinion on that, Chris?
Wasn't Ibushi versus... Kenta versus Naito might be the only time that ever happened.
I was under that impression as well, and... This to me sort of telegraphs that Naito's retaining, and as he should have a decent reign, but it does sort of telegraph that whoever wins the cup isn't winning, because they're not going to have another double champion. I do think this should be the last time that Naito defends both belts at the same time. I think there should be a time when Naito does defend them separately. And I think he should drop the Intercontinental Championship, keep the Heavyweight Championship. We'll wait and see. Obviously, at the moment, we're still in that whole honeymoon phase of, oh my God, New Japan is back. And I'm buzzing, Chris. I'm so excited to have A, New Japan back, B, decent wrestling back, and C, most importantly, fans back in attendance, because it's only when you watch some of these empty arena shows that you realise just how much fans add to that experience.
You say that, Garth has been loving it.
Garth has been loving it, but that's because he's an angry old man.
He's an angry old man. Like our young, the young wrestling fans, the young wrestling... Seriously, you guys should have seen Garth at TakeOver. Everyone goes 1-4 and he's like, you pricks! You fucking...
He's such an anti-smark, it's hilarious.
Super weird, like, when JB came out and he was marking out, and Triple H literally is within, like, 5 feet of us. And he's like, eh. And I'm like, mate.
So, let's look a little more at the New Japan Cup, as this was the main announcement. We have 32 names, and there are some notable omissions. We'll go through them first, and then we'll go through who, obviously, are the glaring omissions. Obviously, these are due to COVID-19 restrictions. Any talent that are currently outside of Japan are not being flown in for this, and understandably with the international pandemic still happening. So people like Will Ospreay is not in the tournament. Jay White is not in the tournament. Kenta, Juice, absolutely. Tama Tonga and Tongaloa are not in the tournament. Farley isn't in the tournament. Those are all notable omissions. What they have done is they have introduced juniors into the tournament, which makes for some absolute bangers. So let's go through then. So The New Japan Cup starts on the 16th of June, and those matches on the 16th are Togi Makabe versus Yota Tsuji, Tomohiro Ishii versus El Desperado, Tora Yano versus Jado, Tomoaki Honma versus Hiromu Takahashi. So those are the four matches on your first night. Chris, it's not the strongest opening night, admittedly. Are there any matches that jump out and grab you?
Honestly, I think they could have mixed this with the 17th and we'd have had a bet. What jumps out? Tak is in there. I'm looking forward to seeing him. I've actually missed him the most because he was just back and then everything stopped. Jado. What?
Yeah, it's a weird inclusion.
No one else. Like, honestly, like, there's some oddities in this tournament. Jado's the big... Did you really have no one else at all?
I mean, in all honesty, Chris, you look at who we've got in this tournament, and we'll get into the rest of them in a moment, and then you look who isn't included due to travel restrictions. There isn't a great deal left. There isn't anyone that's omitted for that, apart from Tiger Mask, who's omitted because of injury.
Yeah, but... and. My opinion, if your roster is that thin, how about as a 16-man and then find something else for the juniors to do, as harsh as that sounds?
You're not the first person to raise that. However, again, we're getting live New Japan. Let's just take what we can get at the moment. Yes, we're going to have to sit through Yano versus Jado, but I've become very accustomed to Tori Yano being one of the most entertaining things in a cup final, in a cup run.
In
so.
A cup final. Imagine if he got to the final.
Hey, you haven't heard my bracket yet.
I'm happy Tsuji's getting a go. He's been pretty good in the as a young lion. Like, again, there's not something you could say about a young lion, but like, he's one of the standouts, not called Ren Narita or Shota Umino. El Desperado, he may be one of my favourite beers, but he's definitely not going very far. Just Ishii.
It's the standout match of night one, isn't it? Ishii versus Desperado.
Yeah. Unless somehow Jado becomes Jack Evans or something.
Well, it depends. I imagine that is going to have literally no wrestling in it. It is going to be pure comedy.
Yeah, yeah. So someone's probably going to get like low blow. It's a Yano match. Someone's going to get low blow.
Yeah, I can't imagine us seeing this going more than 6 minutes, 7 minutes.
Homna's weird to put against Taka, isn't he? Like, think about it. Think of what literally all of Taka's big moves target, and then think of what on Homna is injured.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to seeing Homna taking the time bomb, I must admit.
He's definitely not going to, though. Like, we're going to find... Taka's going to use the D or something. Has he come up with a new name for that yet?
I hope not.
It's still the best moment of... I think it was last year when... Osprey just started laughing when he called it the D, and he was like, "What? Why are you laughing?"
No, it was 2 years ago. I think it was leading into Dominion 2 years ago.
That's one. It's just amazing. Isn't it?
If you haven't seen it, seek it out. It is hilarious.
He's just there going, "I have this new move, and it's called the D." And Osprey just loses his shit in the corner, and he's like, "Why are you laughing?" And then someone just explains it, and he's like, "Oh no,
this is a bad day." Is this the same one where he gives Osprey some fried chicken?
I think it is.
He's just Hiromu is just the absolute fucking best.
Comes out and Daryl's in a mask.
You do raise a good point, Chris, about Homma not exactly being very, you know, it's not the greatest person to pit against someone whose offense is purely neck based. I mean, can you imagine, as we've already said, the time bomb, but the DVD into the corner?
Yeah, or like the time bomb two, or Taka's power bomb, which is basically a Kawada driver, just. The Canadian Destroyer, and I'm sort of like, I understand you tried to keep the main people in the same place, but surely you could have moved Homna somewhere.
Yeah,
like swap Homna and Taguchi, because Sanada's going to go through an evil way anyway, or something like that.
Let's move on. We can talk about these matches slightly later.
Of Homna.
So the next night is Wednesday the 17th of June, and the matchups are Kazuchika Okada taking on his old manager Gedo. That should be funny if nothing else. We've got one of my sort of sleeper picks to be match of the first round, and Yuji Nagata versus Minoru Suzuki in their Wrestle Kingdom 1 rematch, which was also brutal. Yuya Omura taking on Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and Gabriel Kidd taking on Taiji Ishimori. Chris, opinion on those four matches as we complete the left side of the bracket?
This is less outwardly terrible. Okada versus Gedo, at least there's story there, and Gedo basically got inserted because he's basically Jay White. I'm so upset he's on the tournament, but oh my god, I miss Jay White so much. Apparently he's going to turn up in Ring of Honor, which is a shame for Jay White, but a big deal for Ring of Honor. Kanemaru, I'm just happy he's back, to be honest, because he's my guilty pleasure, as Kevin Kelly would say. Gabriel Kidd, I'm surprised he's still in Japan.
He's not New Japan Dojo. He's a LA Dojo, isn't he?
Yeah, maybe he was just stuck there, and he was like, well, I can't go home, so I guess I'm stuck in Japan. Oh, no. I guess you'll just have to book me on your card. But he's definitely falling to Ishimori. The only match you can really suck your teeth into in this, despite this one not being outwardly terrible, is Suzuki and Nagata. Mostly because the style they work, well, maybe not get Nagata, but with Suzuki, if he works like a technical leg match, you don't need a crowd to enjoy a technical leg match. So that could be fun. But if they try and go brutal, that could backfire. I'm trying to think of what the quality would be, because Nagata can still go. We saw that in last year's Cup. But Suzuki, if he's not motivated, which with no crowd there, he might well not be motivated. Can just lay an egg after egg after egg after egg. So I'm not. This could be either really boring or amazing. Is my point.
I think it's going to be amazing. I think Suzuki has too much respect to lay an egg against Nagata. I think their styles mesh really, really well. We've seen it in past matches. You raise a really good point. His match against Ishii in the New Japan Cup last year was an absolute belter, one of the matches of the tournament. So he can still go, along with Kojima, who is in the right side of the bracket, and we'll talk about that in a minute. I think that's going to be a really good match. It's deceptively difficult to call that one as well. Gato might card it. Oh, sorry, go on.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's one of those matches where it could, Suzuki's entering that, New Japan dad phase of his career. So, he could very well just fake you out and have Nagata win. How old is Nagata? 103?
Something like that. I think he's 50-something. I'm sure we've looked that up on a previous podcast.
We're going to go until he was 70, and I think we both believed he was 70.
Yeah, I think he probably is. I think the Ishimori versus Gabriel Kidd match is going to be very good, but you're absolutely right. There's not a chance that Gabriel Kidd is advancing there. Kanemaru versus Omura. Again, Omura is a great, great young lion. Really, really, really capable in the ring. He reminds me very much of Ren Narita in last year's Best of the Super Juniors. But again, he's not progressing past Kanemaru. I think this night is far easier to predict, aside from the Nagata versus Suzuki match, than night one. Let's move on to night three then, and this is taking place on the 22nd of June, which is the Monday, so a week on Monday, and this is the brackets. So Hiroshi Tanahashi taking on Tai Chi.
Yes.
Kota Ibushi versus Zack Sabre Jr., Taguchi versus Sanada, and then Sho versus Shingo. Ooh.
This is tasty.
This is best night.
This is the best part of the bracket. Without a shadow of a doubt, there's no way any of these are going to be bad. When your worst match on your card is Taguchi versus Sanada, just because that's unbelievably predictable.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. The Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Tai Chi match is going to be great.
I have.
Go on.
Back. It could literally go either way with how they've been pushing Tai Chi and with how the tag title scene is shaping up. And that will go into my predictions.
No, I'm with you 100% because I've got the same thing, I think.
God fucking damn it. Okay, so Shell versus Shingo. That's obviously going to be amazing. We gave out a 10 last year, didn't we?
Their match from the Best of the Super Juniors, yes, we did, because it was an absolute... But main evented night one, didn't it? Oh, no, it didn't main event night one.
It was Dragon Lee versus...
Ishimori.
Yeah, and we were like, we understand why, but like this has been building for literally a year, can't you just...
It was a great, great match, and...
Yeah, really good. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to a rematch, and... Yeah, it's just this is just a great one. Like, I look forward to Ibushi versus Sabre every year because it only ever seems to happen in the cup, and it's always fucking amazing. Like, they just compliment each other so much. And you look at this and go, WWE could have had this in their Cruiserweight Classic, and they were like, nah, we're going to have TJP versus Grand Metal League, which was fine, but wasn't this.
Yeah, I... Depends what story I'm going with, but... A really, really interesting side of the bracket. I think Shingo and Sho could steal the night. I genuinely think that will main event that night. I even think Taguchi versus Sonata is going to be a great match. Sonata's great in ring. Taguchi's always, always putting on great matches when he's thrust into the spotlight.
What Sonata needs is someone to bring emotion out of him because he can't bring emotion himself. He's essentially a robot. He was just learning to love. But and like Taguchi could do that, but also like, have you ever seen Taguchi, especially against heavyweights, tends to go a bit more comedy. And yet, have you ever seen Sonata have a good comedy match?
Yes, when he sellotaped Toriano to the barricade and then put him in the Paradise Lock and got him counted out in the G1 Climax 28.
Okay, yeah, that was fucking great.
That was hilarious.
And then, like, Rocky tried to stop. No, because that happened the year before as well. And then, in 28, Rocky tries to stop him, doesn't he? And Rocky gets tied up as well.
Just hearing Toriano shout, Rocky! Rocky, help me!
And he's like, I'm going to save you.
Let's move on then. So we then cut to the 23rd, which is a week on Tuesday. And we have the following matchups. Hiroshi Tenzan taking on Yoshihashi. Yo taking on Bushi. Satoshi Kojima and Evil. And then we finish off with Hiroki Goto taking on Yujiro Takahashi. Well...
What worries me about this card is that Yujiro and Goto and Tenzan versus Yoshihashi were both already booked. So, like, the two worst parts of this card was the original plan.
Yeah, it's not exactly the card, or this isn't exactly the quarter of the bracket we're most excited about.
I think your socks will stay on because they're not being blown off in this card.
Satoshi Kojima taking on Evil. That looks tasty, and I'm sure we had a match between those two not long ago, and we loved it.
As long as Evil doesn't do the Evil formula, where the first two-thirds are complete shit.
You've become very disenfranchised with Evil recently.
It was that Ishii match. And
Which one?
The one at New Beginning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I can see that.
And, like, because he does the same spots, and I'm just sort of done with it. Like, do something. Like, I don't mind someone having, like, the same moves, but, like, he repeats spots, like the throwing outside, the magic killer off the ref, the chair around the neck, smashing it. I'm like, they should be safe. Like, you don't need to do that every singles match you get. You're like, you're in too many singles matches to be doing that shit.
It's the Adam Page formula.
It is the Adam Page problem, only, like... I expect Evil to know better.
And to be fair, Adam Page has stopped doing it now.
Has he? I haven't watched AEW in a few weeks. That's good. Anyway, but yeah, like that. It's like every Evil match. It could be good, but like, I don't know. Evil's like the best wrestler who keeps having bad matches. Does that make?
Yeah, no, you're right. No, you're right.
What was it with Yoshihashi being put against trees in the first round?
Yeah, taking on Nakanishi last year and Tenzan this year, he hasn't exactly been given a lot to work with.
It's almost like he has the honorary, you're going to work with the least mobile in the cup award every year.
Do you know what's depressing?
What?
I think he's going deep into this tournament.
No, but I think he went fairly deep into last year's, and after
he got knocked out in the second round.
Oh no, he didn't. I'm getting mixed up with G127. But you know what? That Ishii match was a fucking banger. And I know what you're gonna say. Oh, it's Ishii. It takes two to tango. Ishii can have bad matches. Look at his Evil match.
The Evil match wasn't horrendous. It was nowhere near as good as it should have been.
It was bad for two thirds of it and amazing for a third, which gave it a passing grade. But Yoshihashi, if his matches are good, they tend to be good all the way through.
I'm not confident against Tenzan. Bless him, Tenzan. He'll work. He's past Tenzan, it.
No. But, like, there's no pathway he isn't going to go up against good people. They'll be solid enough matches. I'm not saying they're going to put your heart on fire. I'm not saying, like, someone can look at a Yoshihashi match and find it so sexy that they'll be pregnant. That's just not what happens with a Yoshihashi match, but you'll have a good time.
So am I not to expect, in your brackets, a Tenkoji quarterfinal?
Oh, that could have been a thing. But no.
So just before we give and actually run through properly and give you our bracket predictions, the remaining dates, the second round, the left side of the bracket will take place on the 24th of June. On the right hand side, it will take place on the 1st of July. All quarterfinals will then take place on the 2nd of July, with the semi-finals taking place on the 3rd, and as we've already discussed, the final taking place on the 11th at Osaka Joe Hall with an actual crowd. Before we get into the brackets, Chris, we discussed briefly on air, do you think for these we are going to get undercard tag matches, or do you think we are just going to get the four matches each night?
I think on 7-3 we'll definitely have undercards, I think. But, like, yeah, I think we're just going to keep it to short broadcast, because I think we're still trying to be as cautious as possible, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think if they can get away with not having as many people on a card, they will.
Yeah, I think also who the fuck's going to watch them? I say that. I'm so New Japan starved that I probably would.
Mate, if they announced a new Young Lion Cup, I would be all over that shit right now.
You were all over the Young Lion Cup last year.
Young Lion Cup was great.
Yeah, see? So, like, don't pretend like that isn't already your watching pattern.
So, Chris, let's start off. What we'll do, ladies and gentlemen, is we'll go through each match, we'll give our predictions, and then using the brackets that the Chris Samza on Twitter has put up, very, very helpfully, on his Sport of Pro Wrestling website. It's also on the Keeping It Strong Style podcast Twitter, so go and check that out. They have a Pick'ems contest. Right, so let's go straight into this. So we start, Chris, with Makabe versus Tsuji, possibly one of the easiest ones we're going to choose. Who have you got, and why do you have them?
Tsuji, no, I have Makabe, because... Yeah, former IWGP champion. Well, definitely pass his prime, but still against Young Lion. You know, Young Lions aren't going to go over anyone. I mean, like, Duke, he even got a win over Narita. So.
Absolutely, I've got the exact same thing. I think Tsuji will give a good account of himself, as he continues to do, but I think Makabe is going to win, and I agree with you. I think all the Young Lion matches are easy to call, as none of them are progressing. We then move on to the second match of night one, with Tomohiro Ishii taking on El Desperado. Chris, who have you got and why?
Ishii, obviously. Imagine if Desperado be Ishii. Like, there'd be, like, wrestling Twitter would burn to the ground.
I think you've got a point, but, you know, if it's a surprise victory, a flash pin, then... Yeah, why not? I'm up for that. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've got Ishii as well, because it's a New Japan Cup and he's a New Japan Cup stalwart. But I'm not saying that a junior victory over a heavyweight is out of the question. I mean, I've got one later on, so don't write Desperado off.
I mean, like, again, favourite beer, bit of tequila in there, but yeah, he's not going to win.
No, absolutely not. We then move on to the third match of night one, Tori Yano taking on Jado. I assume, Chris, and when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me, but I'm going to assume you've gone Yano, same as me.
In my head, I just imagined when Yano met Jado. I'm a simple man. Yeah, I'm going Yano.
Okay. I don't think we need to say anything more than this. Though, interesting note, Yano is taking part in his, I believe, his 15th? Yeah, his 15th consecutive New Japan Cup. This is
the dude is injured.
This is Jado's debut.
Oh, yeah, because Jado's a junior.
Doesn't matter. They've had juniors in the cup before.
Yeah, but like when last year when it was 32 men.
They've had juniors in before that.
Did they? When did we have juniors in?
They've had loads of juniors in. I guarantee they've had juniors in.
Okay, I'm looking this up.
Fine, do it. Moving on then, whilst Chris is doing that, I'm going to go with the Tomoaki Honma and Hiromu Takahashi match. I think this one, it's difficult to call. Obviously, Honma is the established heavyweight, but Hiromu has to win this. He's the junior heavyweight champion, and he's the better wrestler. He's the most exciting wrestler in this matchup and probably in New Japan, full stop. Honma, even if he goes deep into this tournament, what is he going to achieve? Because his match against, you know, his potential matchup with Yano isn't exactly going to light the world on fire. At least with Hiromu, you've got a comedy match which is going to work. So for me, irrelevant of Honma taking any neck-based offense, I think Takahashi takes the win here, Chris.
Yeah, I completely agree, but also, like, you were right, Tiger Mask and Minoru Tanaka and Liger were in the first New Japan Cup. But to be fair, that's 2005 when we didn't have a roster.
Doesn't matter, I was still right, Chris.
And that's all that matters.
That is all that matters.
Fucking guess who was in the second ever New Japan Cup?
Shelton X Benjamin.
No, actually, Scott Norton.
That doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me at all.
2006?
Oh, God, yeah. 2006, Scott Norton. Fucking hell. Ugh. Jesus.
To be fair, there's more of these rhinos in the 2008 cup.
Are you going Honma or Takahashi, Chris?
No, Takahashi, obviously.
Obviously. So at the moment, we have exactly matching brackets. This isn't exactly fun, guys. So we move on to night two. Okada versus Gedo. Who have you got and why is it Gedo?
What we need to realise, Rob, is Gedo has great tournament potential. He is the finalist of the first ever J-Cup. I mean, like, how many people can say that? Two people. But, well, actually only one person. Let's not make it awkward. But yeah, Okada is being Gedo. Unless Jay White somehow interferes via Zoom.
Just calls in via Skype.
Just comes in. It's like, hey, Okada. And it'll be weird.
Goes full Chris Jericho.
Goes full Chris Jericho because that's the only way he can start a fucking feud anymore.
I'm getting Okada as well. It's a lock. I mean, aside from the Young Lions, this is lock of the night. This is lock of the tournament, surely. We then move on to match two with one that is a little bit harder to predict with Yuji Nagata taking on Minoru Suzuki. Chris, who have you got and why?
I am torn between what I want and what I think will happen. For you see, I want Nagata versus Okada so bad because I think that would be... As you know, Rob, one of my favourite things in Japanese wrestling is old angry men dropping young, less angry men on their heads. So, like, Nagata versus Okada's, like, a wet dream of mine. But also, I think we see more value in Okada versus Suzuki because after this first round, they might need a few big matches to draw people in. And this would be one of them. So I'm going for Suzuki.
Yeah, same. I think whenever Suzuki and Okada face off, it's always a great match. Especially the last couple. That Royal Quest match was great. I think it builds another feud between Okada and Suzuki. It sets up a very, very interesting prediction for the quarterfinal. But yeah, I can see Suzuki defeating Nagata. I think it'll still be a great match, though. And then, Chris, we'll whiz through these last two matches because obviously they're fairly easy to predict. So
Kanemaru and Ishimori, just move on.
Yeah, Kanemaru. And Ishimori, I'm just filling this in. Kanemaru and Ishimori. Right, so let's go to the right side of the bracket, and we start with, and I presume you thought this was going to be controversial, Tanahashi versus Taichi. Who have you got and why?
Well, Rob, as you know, Hiroshi Tanahashi is a fucking mark, and Taichi carried this company on his back into its current golden age. So, Taichi, obviously.
Is that the legitimate reasoning you're going with?
No, okay, so like there's obviously going to be a Taichi, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Ibushi and Tanahashi tag title match. One of them has to, beat the other, and I think Taichi versus Ibushi is more tasty than another Tanahashi Sabre match. So, that.
Yeah, we did overdo the Tanahashi Zack Sabre Jr. match last year. I think we had four or something.
And in 2018, and yeah, just no more, please.
Stop it! He's already dead. I'm gonna go Taichi as well. Which I didn't think I was gonna say when I started. But obviously with Tanahashi and Kota Ibushi currently holding the tag titles, which let's face it, no fucker remembered. I think it sets up that Dangerous Techers versus Golden Aces tag match. They were heading towards that anyway on the New Japan Road Tour, so it makes sense for one of them to win, and I think Ibushi wins in the next match. So, yeah, I'm going Taichi as well. Chris, who have you got in the Kota Ibushi versus Zack Sabre Jr. match?
We've sort of given it away already, haven't we?
Well, yeah, I assume both of us have gone for Kota Ibushi.
Yes. Yeah. Poor Zach.
I think, and again, I didn't think we'd be going the same all the way down, Chris. I assume you've gone for Sonata over Taguchi as well.
I mean, yeah. Like, is Taguchi really going to beat Sonata? Like, guy who put on several matches, had several matches against Okada last year, only one of which I can actually remember. Actually, two of which I can remember, to be fair. Yeah, so Sonata.
Yeah, fair enough. So let's move on then to the final match of night three, which is the banger of the night, which is Sho taking on Shingo. This is a damn sight harder to predict. I'm going to go first with this, Chris, so people don't think I'm automatically copying off you. I am going to go with... Oh, fuck. Oh, hang on. No, hang on. I've already got Tanahashi going out, and I'm worried at the moment that we haven't got enough big names going through. And we got Kota Ibushi going through, and we've got Sonata going through. In my head, let me talk you through my process. So in my head, currently Shingo is the never open weight champion. We have a feud between Sho and Shingo, one that is boiled and has come through gently throughout nearly a year. And Sho has mentioned wanting Shingo and wanting the Never Openweight Championship. This would be the perfect opportunity to write him into that storyline. However, we do need some manpower in these second round, quarterfinal, semifinal matches. However, do they do a Shingo versus Sonata match? I don't know. I'd be fucking down for it. But this is the one I'm really torn on, Chris. I'm fairly certain on who wins the next ones, but this one I'm torn on. I'll let you go first, even though I said I was going to go. Because I was determined on Sho, and then I was like, but Shingo.
Well, I'm going Sho, and here's why. The world going on fire, we had... coming out of New Beginning, we had three teased... opponents for Shingo: Ishii, Sho, and Toa Henare. Now, the Ishii match happened. It was great. Go watch it if you haven't. Not as good as the G1 final, but as long as you're spat in your head, you'll have a good time. Toa Henare isn't in the country. And so the only tasty feud right now for Shingo is Sho. It's an open weight championship. Having Sho win here would make this a trilogy, and also having a junior beat a heavyweight, even if that heavyweight was a junior this time last year, would create a star. So, I'm going Sho.
See, in my head, I was getting Shingo to at least, you know, the quarters at the least. But we are looking for matches to set up at Dominion. And a never open weight championship match between Sho and Shingo could be an absolute banger on a stage like Dominion. I don't think Sho will take the belt off Shingo, but that's beside the point. Yeah, fuck it. Let's go Sho. Sho to beat Shingo.
Awful predictions contest.
It is. And I've just filled out my side of the bracket for the fourth night, and I think you're probably going to do the same. So let's move on to that fourth night before I change my mind on Shingo and Sho. Hiroshi Tenzan versus Yoshihashi Krish. Yoshihashi Krish. Who'd you have?
Hashi, the best bout machine. just Yoshihashi. I think he deserves a decent showing. And, like, there's an obvious path to him until at least the 7-2 show. Because, like, quite frankly, do you really want to see more than one Tenzan match? I mean, even that's too much.
I agree with you, mate. I agree with you completely.
He has no knees.
Or ankle.
Maybe he has a Ken doll. I don't know. He just doesn't have anything.
I've gone for Yoshihashi as well, for the exact same reasons as you. Not unfortunately, I think he's a good worker. I'm not invested in his character because he's bland as fuck. I've got him going quite deep into this tournament. Just to spoil the next one, I've got Yo beating Bushi. I think.
We finally have something different.
Well, okay. Let me quickly talk about why I've chosen Yo. Firstly, the company see far more in Roppongi 3K than in Bushi. That's both members, Yo and Sho. And Roppongi 3K, in my opinion, are not long for this world. And the team, not the individual competitors.
You just fucking load your Glock and it's like, the fucking deal with this. You shoot Rocky as a warning.
No, I think if you're going to split the tag team up, which it's been rumoured for months and months and months, obviously pre-COVID pandemic, you need to have both of them kept strong. I think if the best of Super Juniors would have happened, I think both these competitors would have been very, very strong in the tournament. Bushi has got nothing going on. Bushi, unfortunately, is of little relevance apart from having, you know, low-key one of the best entrance themes in New Japan.
And was a running theme of it, a running joke of this podcast.
So, you know, he's achieved something.
He's
a great competitor, but there is more to Yo than there is Bushi. I've got a horrible feeling I'm wrong now, because looking at a potential Yoshihashi and Bushi matchup, it's got a little bit more going for it than Yoshihashi versus Yo, but I'm sticking with it. Yoshihashi versus Yo in the second round. Chris, why have you gone for Bushi?
Well, Sho and Yo are the current junior tag champions, and we needed to set up some form of junior tag championship match. And with no obvious way to get a junior title defense on this, and also having two nights to fill, I think LIJ would be a good pick for a quick title defense. And I think Bushi beating Yo could go a long way to achieving that.
So you think that Bushi's going to team with Hiromu at Dominion and Hiromu's not going to defend his junior heavyweight championship?
What I think could happen is in that match, Hiromu gets pinned by one of Roppongi 3K, probably Yo, which will then set up a match at Dominion between Yo and Taka. Have both of Roppongi 3K going for singles belts, continuing the running rumour that they could split up at some point. Give them both big single showcases.
I like the story. Do we need, and this is me thinking out loud, because we don't know how long Dominion's going to be, for the way we've booked it, we've already got your heavyweight and Intercontinental Championship match. You've already got the Never Openweight Championship match. You've already got your tag team championships.
Well, if it's going to be over two nights, I think if you're trying to draw people to a Sacagawea Hall, even if it is a third capacity, you still need some hook for both nights.
Don't forget, Bushi is also a current six-man Never Openweight Champion. So they might potentially use this.
You can basically just go, well, looks nice, can I have it? And they give you a title shot. So,
no prestige whatsoever.
Yeah, at all. Like, the fucking 24/7 belt in WWE has more prestige. The fucking Iron Person 24/7 thing in DDT means more, and that's been held by itself.
Is that the official name? The Iron Man thingy from DDT?
I forgot what it's called. It's a ridiculously long name. It's a stupidly long name for comic effect, where it's been held by three separate ladders, a sex doll, and the belt itself, also a table. Joey Ryan's like the most successful champion. It was held by Jack the Jobber at some point. It was held by Hannah Kimura when Hannah Kimura was like 9 years old. It's a comedy belt. And yeah, that has more prestige than the Never Openweight Championship. I look forward to matches for that belt more than the Never Openweight Championship, the Never Openweight Six-Man Championship, rather. And I barely watch DDT, so...
So just to recap, you think that Bushi pins Yo in the cup final. Sorry, in the cup. And then on the night of the cup final, we have Sho and Yo taking on Bushi and Hiromu. Yo pins Hiromu, setting up a junior match at Dominion.
Yes.
I think you're dreaming, but okay, fair enough. It's decent storytelling.
Watch you having Hiromu going to the fucking finals.
No.
No. Why would I do that?
No. Next match then, Kojima versus Evil. I've got Evil going through. He's the more established singles star. Kojima doesn't need it. Kojima's on the wind down, and even though he can still go, as he proved against Shingo at last year's Dominion, he can still go, put on a really, really good match, but he does not gain anything from getting any further in this tournament, whereas Evil does. So yeah, Evil to go into the second round for me.
Yeah, same. Like, yeah.
Okay, that was easy. And then again, this is probably another lock aside from the Young Lions.
Here's what's gonna happen. Takahashi is going to trade this victory for a night with one of his hosts. No, that's not gonna happen, Gotha's gonna go through. But imagine.
I am. So basically, let's
stop imagining it.
No, I can't now. Let's move on then. So we've got our second round matchups. I've got we've got the same apart from one match at the end, so we'll go with this here. Ishii is beating Makabe. There's just not there's no doubt about that. I assume you've got the same.
Yes, unless Makabe suddenly becomes 2013, I'm going to cave your head in Makabe. I have no interest in seeing him move on, so yeah, Ishii.
Hiromu Yano is an interesting one. I think...
I can't imagine this being taken seriously.
No, and I think that's the best way to do it. I think if you're going to have someone beat Hiromu, it needs to be in a stupid way, and I think Yano would be the perfect weight, the perfect person for that. Obviously, we're talking, you know, it's a New Japan Cup, it's a heavyweight tournament, so Yano should go through, but Hiromu, again, is the more established, he's the junior heavyweight champion. It's a little bit more tough than I thought it was going to be. I'm going to go for... just the idea of Ishii versus Hiromu makes me very, very happy in ways I can't quite describe. I mean, Yano always goes deep into these tournaments, and there's always an upset. Who have you got?
I've got Takahashi, just because the thought of Yano taking a time bomb is quite amazing.
Fuck.
Also, it plays into a story I'm going to take going into the final.
Yeah, I'm going Hiromu. I think just the idea of having an Ishii versus Hiromu match is more overwhelming than the thought of Yano doing a quick roll up on Hiromu, which is possibly what's going to happen. But I'm letting my heart rule over my head here. So, Okada versus Suzuki. I've gone Suzuki.
Oh.
I think it's... Okada doesn't need the rub at the moment. He's spent so long on top. I think it plays into a story here. I think Suzuki could be a legitimate challenger for Naito at some point, despite the fact that they've delivered nothing but clangers. I think Suzuki is a legitimate challenger, especially when it comes to an Intercontinental Championship match, as opposed to a heavyweight championship match when they divide the titles. And a strong showing in the cup is a good way to cement himself as one of those people to challenge. And yeah, I just think Okada is probably going to do very well in the G1. He's probably going to get to the final. So for me, Suzuki goes here. Chris.
But upstart Suzuki finally getting the rub. I went in the opposite direction. I went Okada, partly for a story later on in the cup, partly because there's several redemption story arcs going on right now, and I'd rather prioritise one over the other, so I'm going to go with Okada to go a little bit deeper into this tournament.
Fair enough. And then I have got Taiji Ishimori defeating...
Yeah, who the fuck is Kanemaru?
Yeah, yeah. Though, don't get me wrong, Kanemaru, again, one who always has really, really good tournaments, so I've got high hopes for that.
We both love Kanemaru. Like, I think I'm right in saying, like, both of our favourite non-Osprey match of last... Well, actually, Show and Shingo. One of our favourite, like, matches... Well, sleeper match of the tournament for Super Juniors last year was Kanemaru versus Shingo.
I wouldn't call it a sleeper match because there was a volley of great matches. What I would say is Kanemaru was consistently great, and that was the only match throughout the entire of that tournament that I legitimately thought Shingo was going to lose.
I thought Shingo was going to lose for half a minute in the show match.
No, I didn't, because at that point I was convinced, oh, Shingo's going to go all the way and go unbeaten. And then, I don't know why that logic went out the window when he faced Kanemaru. I was just convinced that the legwork was that good and his selling was great, so...
Because Kanemaru is basically Yano, if Yano took things seriously.
Yeah, no, I agree. So moving on to the right-hand side then, we have got Taichi versus Kota Ibushi, both of us. I've gone Kota Ibushi.
Uh-huh.
Are you the same?
No.
Really? You've got Taichi going over both members of the Golden Aces?
You remember how I just talked about Redemption Acts? Ibushi... Ibushi is currently in the middle of one. That's why he went with Hiroshi Tanahashi. I think the story is going to be for a while because of how devastating the loss at the losses at Wrestle Kingdom were. But Ibushi can't win without Tanahashi around. So Ibushi loses to Taichi because that's what you do when heavyweights are down on their luck. They lose to Taichi.
Okay, and please don't think, oh, well, okay. Okay, I mean, we had Zack Sabre Jr. a few years ago go over, like, the main eventers in one run, which was fairly incredible, and nobody saw ZSJ going the entire way. Taichi could be that person this time, which is what I imagine you've done. Do I want to see Taichi versus Naito again? Fuck no.
You don't know the rest of my brackets, Rob. Don't start assuming what I've done. He goes to change his bracket. I'm not, but yeah.
No, I think partly because of the way I've booked it, I think there's a lack of established people, and
I think that's part of the beauty of the cup, to be honest with you, and because everyone's a New Japan star, that could be a way to push smaller talent. I think there's enough big talent in how I've booked it so far for like there to be enough tasty challenges going forward.
I think as well, what doesn't help is with Naito being champion, it rules out all of LIJ, which unfortunately are three of the most established single stars, and Bushi.
It's been so long.
I've missed doing that.
It's so great. But we'll talk about this more in depth as we go further through the brackets.
Okay.
So Sonata's big show, right?
Oh, 100%, yes.
Poor show, because show is better than Sonata, but yeah.
It's difficult to argue with that.
Okay. Sonata is better in, between the ropes, but show can put on more compelling matches.
Yes, show is a better storyteller, I think, than Sonata all round. Yeah. Sonata can put on great stories, but he needs a fantastic opponent.
Sonata had three matches with great stories last year. Two were against Okada, and one was against Suzuki, because it was a Suzuki leg match. So
yeah. Moving on then to the lower end of the right-hand side, I've got Yoshihashi and Yo, and I've gone Yoshihashi to beat Yo. Very, very simple. It's a heavyweight versus junior. They're both faces. They're both members of Chaos. I don't think there's another story to have there. Again, I think Yoshihashi goes deep in this tournament, so he's into the quarterfinals in mine. I think they're high on Yoshihashi with the amount of talent that is missing from the G1 Climax. I think Yoshihashi needs or will get a spot in the G1 Climax. And again, seeing with Suzuki on the other side of the bracket, a strong showing in the New Japan Cup reminds everyone that he can go, even if he's bland as fuck. And it will give him the credibility to be in that tournament, which is something he lacked going into G1 Climax 29. Don't get me wrong, I don't think he goes any fucking further, but I've got him beating Yo here, sorry.
I have him against Bushi, and again, simple mind, I'm internally laughing at when Yushi meet Bushi, but of course Hashi's going over because it's Bushi. I think this will actually be a sleeper, really good match.
Yo surprised me actually in the best of Super Juniors. I know that he's great, but the focus was on show.
I'm talking about Bushi. I think Bushi went through, remember?
Oh, sorry. Yes, of course you do. It's because we've been similar on everything else. Sorry, just talking about me, Chris. Go on. Why do you think this will be great?
I didn't say great. I think it's going to be good because both men can be good. Both men work fairly comparable styles. Just one will be more overwhelming because it's a heavyweight. I think time off might help Yoshihashi. But also, he only got one real singles opportunity last year, didn't he? And that was against Kenta. And I think that was always going to die a death because it was in front of a New York crowd.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. I mean, don't get me wrong, Bushi is capable of putting on great matches. Look at that power struggle match with Ospreay. Quite a few of his matches in the best of the Super Juniors.
He had a good match against Yo, I'm pretty sure.
Was he in that block?
Gallup. Yeah, no.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, of course he was.
Super Juniors just feels like so long ago.
It really does.
To be fair, March feels like so long ago.
We've both got Evil versus Goto in the next round.
Yeah,
Chris. Go on. I'll let you go first because I've chosen. I don't want to I don't want to go back on it. So I've chosen.
Okay. So here's the thing. I'm not quite sure. I forgot to fill this out on my bracket, so I now need to remember to fill that out. I didn't forget to fill it out, but I then changed it. Okay, so here's the thing. The thought of a Goto versus Yoshihashi match is more exciting. I love Yoshihashi versus other member of Chaos matches, because you know, that one kid in PE where the really cool kid would always sort of pull them along. Come on, man, you can do it. That's what Chaos matches with Yoshihashi. I remember last year, the Ishii match, where Ishii's like, come on, fucking bring it. You're better than this. And I like that. And I want that to sort of become a New Japan Cup tradition until Yoshihashi fucking gets better. But it would also fuck with the story I'm trying to tell with the rest of this. Evil. I'm going Evil.
Okay, and what's the story you're trying to tell here?
Oh, I don't want to spoil the rest of my fucking brackets here, man. I'll get into it.
All right, I've gone Goto. I think basically word for word what you said. I think a Goto versus Yoshihashi match, like you said, looking at all previous G1s, Yoshihashi has performed well against members of Chaos, and I think, spoiler, I think Goto goes deep into this tournament. So, yeah, I think this is a more compelling match.
And for Goto, because it can't be a year in New Japan without Goto fighting from the bottom.
No, true. So let's move on then to our quarterfinal matchups. We've both got currently in the quarterfinals Ishii versus Hiromu. Who have you got to win that match and why?
I think Ishii's going to beat Hiromu in 2 seconds and make you cry.
Mate, I've got Ishii to win.
Yeah, but like not in 2 seconds. I think that's physically impossible, but Ishii will manage.
I mean, the whole premise of a pinfall is 3 seconds. So, what submissions does Ishii have? Go on, quick, think of one.
Sleeper hold.
Just a random sleeper hold for 2 seconds is going to tap out the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, is it?
Here's the thing. Ishii is really mad that other people have nets and he doesn't.
Right. It's a flimsy story, okay. Chris.
So here's what's going to happen. Ishii is going to lariat Takahashi, and Takahashi's head will come off.
It's a wild story.
And here's the thing. This incorporates into the figures they just were about to bring out, which has detachable heads.
Right. Okay. Sure. Suzuki versus Ishimori. I've got Suzuki. The thought, again, and I know I've said this a lot, the thought of a Suzuki versus Ishii semi-final is very, very tasty. I think they could do great things together. So, yeah, that's literally what I'm thinking. That matchup is great. Plus, Suzuki is beating the junior heavyweight in Taiji Ishimori. No matter how good Ishimori is, Suzuki is winning that.
Well, I have Okada versus Ishimori, and I have Okada going through for similar reasons.
Fair enough. Mm. Now, the right-hand side of the bracket, for me, this has become very, very, very tasty. So, I currently have in the quarterfinals, Chris, Kota Ibushi versus Sanada. And unlike you, I've got little stories, but I'm basically doing this on the fly. So, you've got Kota Ibushi, who, going into Wrestle Kingdom, had won the G1 and then was the person to come out 0-2, which surprised quite a lot of people. I know that you're telling a redemption story with him, a longer form story in this redemption arc. I'm not. Sanada got through to the final last year. You know, does he need that again? No. I mean, he's got his own redemption arc to tell anyway. I mean, he's the only member of LIJ without a belt, and that includes Bushi. So I think he is going to eventually move away from LIJ. If he wants to become a heavyweight champion, intercontinental champion, if he wants to be that established person that wins a New Japan Cup, that wins a G1 Climax, he needs to step out from LIJ. And I think losing consistently here could be the catalyst to something like that. Not straight away, but certainly as we move forward in New Japan's calendar. So I think Kota Ibushi beats Sanada here.
I think Taichi beats Sanada here. partly...
Oh, okay. I could have written your fucking bracket. Go on, carry on.
Right. So, Taichi beats Sanada here. And I want to tell the same story for Sanada as you. I want him to have that inferiority complex. I think that would actually be a decent character for Sanada until he can overcome it. Because, like, that was sort of, both seeds were sort of planted against Okada last year at King of Pro Wrestling. Yeah, so I have Sanada losing here for the same reason. And so the same reason I have beat Ibushi. When a heavyweight is down on their luck, they lose to Taichi. That's just what happens.
Okay, fair enough. We move on then to the bottom half of the right-hand side, where our current quarterfinals stand as Chris with Yoshihashi versus Evil, and myself as Yoshihashi versus Goto. I've got Goto.
Yeah, I think your match is so much better, but also I have a story I'm trying to tell here. So.
Exactly. I mean, first of all, I think, unfortunately, Yoshihashi is very much in the mold of plucky underdog that doesn't have what it takes in the big moments. A quarterfinal with the premise of a semi-final and even a final of the New Japan Cup, I think, will get to him. I think he'll get overexcited, and I think Goto will put him in his place, as is often Yoshihashi's want in the G1 and things like that. Goto does well in the New Japan Cup. That's Goto's thing. So I fully expect him to do the business over Yoshihashi. I expect it to be a great match, but I do expect Hirooki Goto to go over Yoshihashi, especially as Goto has just dropped the Never Openweight Championship after literally no defenses. So, yeah, I expect slight redemption and a good match, but Hirooki Goto going over Yoshihashi.
I have Evil going over Yoshihashi. Plays into a story I'm trying to tell. Also,
the story is Taichi winning the cup. I can see it now. No, absolutely but, yeah. Fucking not. Sorry, do
but
carry
Evil
on.
Evil beats Hashi. Evil beats Hashi, and Hashi. Just because Yoshihashi's not beating Evil.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I'll let you go first with the first semi-final, Chris. So on the left-hand side, you have got Tomohiro Ishii versus Okada.
I picked this because I think it's one of my top 10 favourite New Japan matches of last year. I loved it.
Is this their semi-final match from last year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was great, and I want this match to happen again, except, fuck off, Okada, Ishii's going to the final.
Wow. I'm not entirely sure with the story you're trying to tell, but okay.
It plays into it. Right, so we've seen, in our deep dive, we've seen, we saw Goto beat Tanahashi in a New Japan Cup final, and they were in the same faction, Ben, and that's what I'm trying to tell. The former champion losing to a challenger for the challenger to get a go, and then I think Naito could either be running, has a chance to run through chaos before the Okada storyline, kind of.
Okay. No, fair. It's fair enough storytelling. So I've got Ishii versus Suzuki, and I'm going Suzuki. I think Suzuki goes to the final of the New Japan Cup. I think he has an absolute belter of a match with Ishii that makes me wince. But you've got to think now, in the semi-finals, in the final of the New Japan Cup, who do you see as the bigger star? And the fact of the matter is, Suzuki is a bigger star in New Japan than Ishii is. And it is true that you aren't looking to sell out a Dominion. You haven't got to worry about the 12,000 seats in the Osaka Joe Hall. All you've got to worry about is, 4,000, which is, a massive amount less. And you could draw that on the New Japan name alone. So it doesn't really matter who is going against Naito. The thing is, I just don't see Ishii. Much as I love Ishii, and anyone that listens to any of the podcasts we do know that Ishii is bae, I don't see him getting to the final. I don't see it. So I've got Suzuki in the final. And I hate myself a little bit for that. Not going to lie. Chris, he says with trepidation, because I can see your semi-final matchup, and I know who's going to the final in this, Chris. Taichi versus Evil, Chris. Who have you got in going into the final?
So, as you know, Taichi beat Sanada last round.
Oh, God.
So He knows the LIJ game plan, so here's what's going to happen. So Taichi's going to be evil.
Okay. All right. Do you know what's quite depressing? I'm not laughing at the fact that you're choosing Taichi because he's your favourite wrestler. This could quite legitimately happen, in all honesty, because, again, the New Japan Cup is the one where not established stars can always win it, as proved by Zack Sabre Jr.
Yes. Also, I have story reasons for all of this.
Do you fuck? They are flimsy at best, and you know it.
Okay, you have to admit, with a lot of these, they were really good. And then, like, I think Taichi running through the rest of LIJ into the final means both Ishii and Taichi will then have both have story reasons to win the cup.
I think you're wrong, but there we are.
I mean, I was worried at the start that our predictions were going to be very similar, but we have went in very, very different directions.
We did, and that is proved by our final. So currently, for those of you who are following along, Rob's final is Minoru Suzuki versus Kota Ibushi, and Chris, your final is Tomohiro Ishii versus Taichi. Now, I'm not being a dick, Chris. If you are a punter, okay, you are buying tickets, and you have got a main event to choose between Rob's Suzuki versus Ibushi and your Ishii versus Taichi, don't lie to me and say you would choose yours.
I mean, I may.
You just like watching the world
but,
burn.
Like, I mean, also, like, Suzuki versus Ibushi, has that happened? It must have happened at some point.
Well, I imagine every singles match just happened at some point.
Yeah, like, we only have so many people. But, yeah, I know, I just, for some reason, for the Ishii Taichi match does more for me. I can imagine that being better. Like, if this was Suzuki 2 or 3 years ago, then, yeah, I'd be completely with you. But as it stands right now, no, I would actually rather see an Ishii versus Taichi rematch.
Okay.
I think mostly because of the current landscape of how I see the story, that I do think Ibushi needs that little redemption arc. I do think also Suzuki is just not longed for the heavyweight division at this stage. Not the heavyweight, as in like the main event scene. So,
which is why he needs to be there while he can still go.
But also, like, the thought of Suzuki versus Naito again makes me cry.
Right, so I'm going to ask you, Chris, and just give me a second to compose myself. Chris, in your New Japan Cup 2020 final of Tomohiro Ishii versus Taichi,
yes,
who do you have going on to main event Dominion?
Ishii.
Good boy.
Because I said it before, I think now that Kent is dealt with, and now that most of Bullet Club is out of Japan for the foreseeable future, I think Ishii would be a good starting point for Naito to start knocking down Chaos. Because that's just what you do. You run through faction underlings before facing the faction leader, which we've been saying since Wrestle Kingdom ended, that the probable main event of next year in Okada versus Naito. And yeah, just starts that story.
You've thrown me there, Chris, because you fucking told a good story there, you dick. I thought you were just going to go with blind passion and go with Taichi again.
But like, yeah, but also, like, do you not see the beauty? Because Taichi went over the other two main members of LIJ, it looks like he's going on a destruction path to all the way to Naito. So it sets up that doubt in the back of New Japan fans' minds who still haven't quite bought Taichi of, oh no, Taichi might win this. And then ultimate babyface Ishii wins and you have a great match for Dominion.
So you're going full Jay White versus Ibushi vibes from G1 Climax 29?
Yes, because I think we need that feel-good story out the gate for New Japan.
Okay.
Since it's been so many months.
No, also, I'm with you.
Also, since they need to worry more about international markets signing back up to world rather than attendance, Ishii is really popular internationally, so it's Naito. That's a match draw right there.
Okay. Along the same sort of vein, I've gone Suzuki to win the tournament. Now...
I hate you so much.
Now... Okay. So, first of all, New Japan seemed to love the pairing of Suzuki versus Naito. And...
Well, we did in 2018 at the very least.
Yeah. And, you know, even a broken clock is right twice. So, you know, we keep churning them out. Maybe one will be good. I do think that Suzuki is a good person for Naito to knock down. He's an imposing figure. I think that what you mentioned about drawing more international eyes on world, you know, is there a person on this roster who is more over internationally in this cup than Suzuki? You heard the reception to Suzuki at Royal Quest. They were baying for Okada's blood. And I think...
Yeah, I think that's because people are sick of Okada.
Maybe. But I do think that Suzuki is over... I mean, we both talked on this podcast about how we thought Suzuki was beating Moxley so that he could spearhead the American expansion because he was the big name. He was the person that was over in America. And I think...
Yeah.
He is the person to win this champ, this crown. Yes, he's a heel. But does that matter, really? I mean, he's beaten a credible person in Ibushi. I think the Suzuki versus Ibushi partnership will be great in that final. It's a main event worthy match. I think it also sets up further down the line if Ibushi and Tanahashi defeat Dangerous Techers, you have then got a Suzuki and another person set up as a tag team type. Challenger down the line if you want to go that route. I understand that we are playing Russian roulette with how Suzuki and Naito pair off against each other.
It's not Russian roulette. It's like Russian roulette if 9 out of 10 barrels have a bullet in it. That is just Russian roulette. I'm sorry. No, Russian roulette is the opposite of that. I've never played myself.
Good.
I played egg roulette once.
How'd that go?
Things with egg roulette, like most of them are hard boiled, only one isn't. I'd rather get the actual egg because I can just wash it off. If I hit like a hard boiled egg against my head, it hurts. And that's what happens. I had like bits of eggshell lodged in my fucking forehead. It was awful.
So just to quickly run through again, the semi-finals and finals. Chris has got Ishii versus Okada and Taichi versus Evil, with an Ishii versus Taichi final and Ishii coming out on top. Rob has got, I don't know why I'm referring to myself in the third person, semi-final I've got Ishii versus Suzuki, and I've got Goto versus Ibushi, and then I've got Suzuki versus Ibushi in the final with Suzuki going over. Looking at the matches then that sets up for Dominion, obviously the Cup will have undercard tags, and I presume there will be storylines interwoven throughout this to set up a match card for Dominion. Obviously, we've got that Together Project show where we don't know any of the card, and obviously that can set stuff up for Dominion that we don't know about. That leaves Sho versus Shingo. I think both of us have said, you know, by the way we've booked it, this is going to happen with the Never Openweight Championship. I think that could be an absolute banger of a match. I'd quite happily see that be the semi-main event.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember what the other singles titles we have. There's the junior, which I do again think is going to be set up as possibly Yo, because I can't think of any other compelling junior who's free right now. At least he wouldn't have like an obvious path to, like, again, because there's a path for Yo. He can beat Bushi, can beat him, tag title match, Yo retains the beat, and by pinning Hiromu. Whereas, like, say, Desperado or Ishimori, which would be objectively more exciting matches, there's no in for them.
I mean, you can argue that, again, on these undercards, you can have a six-man tag where someone just randomly pins Hiromu. I mean, for God's sake, we could have Gedo, Jado, and Taichi Ishimori, and Ishimori rolls up Takahashi. You've got a singles match set up there. I don't think that'll happen. Yeah, I'm just giving an indication.
Yeah. But, like, just in terms of what we know right now, I think... Well, yeah, but I do think it's going to be a junior title defense, because I think we need, because all these champions and new champions, they all need to get there. Stock up, and also since we've so far told a Chaos versus LIJ story, I think another LIJ guy going for the belt helps.
Okay, no, I get that. I think there will be a junior defense. I think you're right. I don't think they'll bother with the junior tag titles. I just don't think they need to.
I think we'll just throw it onto the cup final just to have it.
Yeah, maybe. I do think we'll have the Golden Aces versus Dangerous Techers at Dominion, and that could be fucking great. That really could be amazing.
That could be. I'm really excited to see what we do with the tag division now, though, against the wall. Because, like, they might have to start putting what they have with Tana and Ibushi, but we can't just stick about with GOD now. We have to, like, put names.
That's the thing. And don't forget, you haven't got Finn Juice either.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Finn Juice and Fine Look, I'm just sick of the Gorillas. you know, I'm just happy they're gone. Like, and we say this almost every time we bring up the tag division, but look at All Japan, look at Noah, look at Stardom. They're all throwing main eventers into the tag division when the main eventers have nothing else going on. And there's coming out of this cup, main eventers like Okada, Ray Habit, Suzuki, Nagata, Goto. A lot of these people don't have a direction to go in.
I see your point, but I mean, they are going to have to do something. The reason I brought up Finn Juice was in this tag division, when you consider established tag teams, there's no Gorillas of Destiny because of travel restrictions, and there's no Finn Juice because of travel restrictions.
That's their whole division.
That is. Established teams, apart from Tenkoji, that's pretty much it.
What annoys me is where we had that amazing tag match at Dash with Shingo and Evo against Goto and
Ishii.
And I'm like, have them be your teams. Like, I know I have Ishii winning, but, like, you can have Evo and Takagi at some point. Ishii's probably going to lose here. Have them go. But you can make a. You have the building blocks to make a great tag division here. And, like, there seems to be this misconception that if a tag team doesn't have a name, they're not a tag team.
Yeah, no, I get that, and I think that's an Americanized thing.
You know, that's the thing about it. It's very much how WWE tried to push it, and then, like, everyone accepts the same thing. Whereas, again, you look at go over to All Japan, their current Triple Crown champion Shwama is also their tag champion in the Violent Giants, same in Noah with Go Shiozaki, and that works just fine. I understand they have smaller rosters, but, you know. Or, like, B Priestley is currently a tag champion in Stardom, and they were their last world champion before Mai, so it works. Just have that happen.
Yeah, I think there does need to be something done with the tag division. Again, you look at, I mean, we've got Great Bash Heel, Tenkoji. Those are your established teams that are in this. They're in this bracket here, and, you know, neither of those are. We don't want to see either of those against Hiroshi Tanahashi and Kota Ibushi, irrelevant of how good Tanahashi and Ibushi still are. You're looking at a Dangerous Techers. You have got Evil and Sonata, which, you know, Evil and Sonata versus the Golden Aces would be fantastic.
Evil and Shingo, I think they actually do make a legitimately better team.
I do as well, because they are both very similar in their just throwing of arms.
The Violent Giants, if instead of backdrops, it was lariats.
Yeah, the issue is, though, that Shingo is the never open weight champion.
Shingo has two belts right now. He could add a third.
It's unlikely, which is why I think we'll throw Sonata in there as opposed to... I'm not saying that's what I would like to see. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've got no issue with Evil and Sonata as a tag team, but I think Shingo versus Evil is far more compelling, as we saw at Dash. I think it would be a shot of adrenaline if they put Okada into this division. Now, Okada in an interview has said that he would love to be in this division now that the belts are on Ibushi and Tanahashi.
An Okada-Yoshihashi program would be interesting because, again, I think Yoshihashi is at his best when other members of Chaos in storyline pulling him up.
It does give Yoshihashi direction, which he lacks for the majority of the year. I mean, the best bit of his last year was losing repeatedly to the Gorillas of Destiny with Ishii.
Yeah, and also like when he was facing Ishii and Ishii was pulling in again, as Yoshihashi's best storyline is when Chaos members pull him up, but we never keep him those storylines enough for Yoshihashi to reach that end goal. So I think a program with, because Okada, he's going to be out of the heavyweight program for the rest of the year, I think. So like when you think of outside of G1, where does Okada go? I think the tag division's a good idea. I think this limited roster could be a very good time to rebuild that tag division. So
my only problem is with the way they did Ishii and Yoshihashi as a team is that Yoshihashi was the hot tag.
But wait, I didn't see any of those. Well, at least I didn't pay any attention to any of those matches. I completely forgot about that. Jesus Christ.
And it doesn't work. I think Ishii should be the hot tag and have Yoshihashi fighting from underneath. He's proved in G1s, he's proved in the New Japan Cup that he is better fighting from underneath. So why not have him pairing with a Goto, pairing with an Ishii, pairing with Okada, like you say. Have him be the person in distress and then have him tag out and the other person be the house on fire. It doesn't matter if Yoshihashi looks a little bit weak. Every tag team has got that person who receives the fucking heat. It's the whole point of a tag team.
For like a Japanese comparison, Akira Taue got over doing that with Jumbo Tsuruta. Like, I'm not saying Yoshihashi's as good as a Akira Taue, but it's a proven formula. Do it.
It's a tale as old as time.
Yes. A never-ending story.
I think that's enough Disney for this podcast. Let's leave it there then, Chris. So what we'll do, ladies and gentlemen, is we will be back next week. We'll have talked through the Together Project show on Monday, and we'll talk through the first night of action of the New Japan Cup, because we will have to record that on Tuesday because I am out on the Wednesday, but that will still drop on Wednesday at 10 p.m. In the meantime, guys, thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget, when there is a lull in the current product, we will return to that Okada and Tanahashi feud we've been looking at for the last couple of weeks. If you haven't already, please go and check out the previous episodes of that. In the meantime, thank you. You can subscribe to the podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. Don't forget to give us a 5-star review, likes. It really does help the podcast out. Go to the website, www.podmania.co.uk, where you can check out all the archived episodes of the podcast, as well as all our match ratings and jazz like that. You can follow us on Twitter at The Young Lion Cast. You can also join the Facebook group, the Podmania Facebook group, at Podmania Podcasts. You can talk to me on Twitter at Real Rob Goodwin. Chris, where can they find you?
At Garthamania.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. And we'll talk to you guys again soon.